standing in for Lawrence Reyes as chair of the governance committee tonight. He had another commitment that he just couldn't put off, so he asked me to stand in for him. We have only one item on our agenda tonight, and we don't even have an actual hard copy or even electronic agenda, but we will get to that in a minute. First, I will take the roll. Nancy, unless you want to do that.
Oh, I can do that. And I sent an email earlier.
Yes, but let's take the roll first. Take the roll first, please.
So you can be looking at it, Eileen.
Don't go anywhere else. Please just take the roll, Nancy. Thank you.
Okay. I don't like being given orders, Eileen, but I will do.
I would like, I'm trying to keep the meeting on track, and we tend to get off track.
Alan B. And from KPFK.
Thank you.
Alan B.
Here. Alan B. is here.
Alan B. present. Daniel Borgstrom from KPFA.
Present. Present.
Daniel Borgstrom, present. William Crozier from KPFT.
I'm here.
Can I hear you? Oh, you're here. Okay. Crozier is present. All right. I see. Vanessa Dixon Briggs from WPFW. Vanessa? Are you muted? Okay, I'll come back. William Heerwagen from WBAI. William, I do not hear you. Okay, Wally James from KPFT. Wally, I cannot hear you. Lydia Ponce from KPFK. Lydia, I cannot hear you. Lawrence Reyes from KPFK. Lawrence, I do not hear you. Eileen Rosen from WPFW.
I am here.
Eileen, present. Eileen Rosen, present. James Sagerton from WBAI. James, I do not hear you. Nancy Tybar and I tell me I'm here. Let's see. Tom Voorhees from KPFA.
Tom is here.
Tom is present. WBAI, Michael White.
I'm here.
Michael White, present. WPFW, Lewis Wolf.
I'm here, yes. Thank you.
Lewis Wolf is present. Carol Wolfley from KPFA. Carol, I do not hear you. Let me go back to Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
I am here.
Oh, yeah. Vanessa's present. Okay. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got quorum.
We've actually got 10 people is what I've got.
Well, Eric and...
Oh, wait, no, I marked somebody wrong. I'm sorry. My fault. You're right and I'm wrong. Okay. I know that we have a guest tonight, Eric Jacobson, who has written up... I don't know. I think I would rather let Eric and Nancy explain what this is about because they have a better idea than I do. But Eric, who is a lawyer, and in his lawyerly guise, has written up something called a proposed draft amendment to Pacifica's Articles of Incorporation, providing that the Pacifica Foundation be, open quotes, democratically self-governed by its members, close quote. Actually, Eric, I would like to put a date on this document. Should I put today's dates?
You may. It was originally written in, I can give you the exact date. I put it on an email.
The
thread,
month is
but
good enough.
It can be
a month?
March of this year.
Oh, okay. I'll just put March 2021. Thank you. And maybe between you and Nancy, you can decide how to present this to us.
Yes.
I would ask, hang on, Nancy. I would like you to give somebody to give an introduction as to what this is about, why we're doing this, and having this document. And then have Eric explain what he's written. And there you go.
I'll be happy to summarize, Nancy, or you're the sponsor for this committee, so... I'll defer to you as well if you'd like to say why you responded to my my write-up on the email thread, or I can simply
give
a short synopsis. Okay. Either way, what do you prefer?
Okay, I'll give a short introduction to Eric Jacobson, who worked very hard on this draft, and I thought it was just beautiful and timely. So, Eric, take it away.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Eric C. Jacobson. I'm a KPFK LSB member. I'm toward the beginning of my second year on the LSB here in Los Angeles. And what I have done here is try to amend the Articles of Incorporation in such a way that we might spare ourselves from further iterations of these too frequent efforts by small groups of members to develop wholesale changes in the bylaws that really radically somewhere between revise and abolish the structure of Pacifica governance that's been in place since 2003. So we're in the 18th year, by my calculation, of the electoral governance of and guidance of the destiny of the foundation by the members. It's rather indirect, and there is a lot of federalism, so-called, involved in the organization and governance of the foundation. But I personally think it's a sound structure that needs mending in certain ways, but definitely not ending. And I've been highly frustrated by the efforts to end the governance as we know it of Pacifica, first by the Pacifica Restructuring Project and now by the New Day Project. So I'll be frank about my biases. I'm very strongly opposed to anything that would de-democratize Pacifica. And I feel that that's what both of these efforts are about, in large part, in a way that creates what some version of a return to a self-governing board of directors and elimination of some of the powers of the elected local station boards. So I gave it some thought in terms of why this is being allowed to happen now on a regular basis, and I thought to myself, perhaps an amendment to the articles is in order such that it's understood by all concerned that certain types of bylaws amendments of this radical nature cannot be resurfaced without running afoul of the articles. So I don't know whether everyone has the text in front of them. Eileen, I can recite the changes, which I tried to keep spare. I didn't want to have a document that would massively change the articles, because the articles are like the Constitution of a government. You kind of have to not make it too cluttered. And although it could be subject to more detailed changes, I focused on where I thought certain strategic changes could be made in economical wording that would fit in with the current writing, the articles as written. So, Eileen, how do you want me to proceed? Should I go to the actual language of the my proposed amendment line by line, or do people have it in front of them? Or maybe for the stream, I don't know. What do you think is best?
Excuse me. My first thought would be to keep it simple. You know, sometimes it can be hard to absorb legal language.
Yeah. Why don't I put it in plain English? How about that?
Yeah, I would generally like to hear. Hang on, Bill. Yeah, I would prefer to hear it in English, whatever is needed, and then, the actual text that would be the legal language to be used would be a different thing. Bill, did you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say Nancy also sent some amendments, so I don't know where that fits in. If you should go ahead and present them now so we can talk about them together or what?
Well, let's see. Eric, are you aware of Nancy's amendments?
I am.
To be able to incorporate them?
I didn't have the ability in the time I had to incorporate them, but it did give me a bit of stimulus to add one further proposed change to my own proposed amendment, which I'll get to, which I also tried to keep short and sweet. But I'd like to talk through, before we get into Nancy's detailed changes, the basic gist of what I'm doing here. And I think I can do it in the plain English that you'll be satisfied with, Eileen. What I'm pivoting off of, shall I go now?
Wally's on the call.
Oh, Wally. Okay, I'll mark you. Thank you. Eileen, does anybody want me to send them, resend anything? Does everybody have it? Does anybody need it?
Tom does need it.
Okay, I'll send you, Tom.
And me too, Vanessa.
Vanessa, okay. Go ahead.
Great, thanks. Go ahead, Eric, please.
Okay, so what I'm pivoting off of as a starting point is a current provision of the bylaws. It's at Article 17, Section B, paren 5. And what that does is forbid, it says that there cannot be any bylaws amendments. One of the three subsections that are prohibited are bylaws amendments that conflict with the foundation's articles of incorporation. Okay, so that was my point of departure. I wanted to write something into the articles that would make clear that the kind of omnibus or wholesale, bylaws amendments that of the type I described earlier. Really would not be doable in the future. And what I then did was inserted, let me see how many were, 8 words into section 2 of the articles. That section describes the purposes of the corporation. And it currently reads that the purposes of the Pacifica Foundation, they call it this corporation, is A, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any members of the foundation, period. So what I did is I put 8 words further in that sentence. So what I would propose is that we amend the articles to say, that the purposes of this corporation shall be, A, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes that is democratically self-governed by its members, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. Key concept there being that we will henceforth be officially considering ourselves democratically self-governed by our members, that is, the members who annually, join their respective stations at the minimum donation level, currently $25 per year. And then I coupled that because all of the, both of the recent wholesale attempted bylaws changes essentially attempt to radically change the way in which the Pacifica National Board of Directors is constituted. And what I wanted to do there was put some language in the articles, and I chose Section 6 where there's discussion of the directors. And I inserted some language, but I'll first just recite the way it currently reads. There's some preamble language, which I'll omit. because the preamble language simply, I think, gives the names and addresses of the original directors that Lou Hill and his colleagues chose back in the 40s when they first created Pacific. And then it says, that special authority hereby designated to the members of the corporation to change the number of directors hereof at any time by the adoption of a bylaw to that effect. I'm missing the preamble language, but I can bring it up if people need it. Essentially, there's authority in the current bylaws in plain English to change the number of directors at any time by the adoption of a bylaw. So I think there was 8 original directors, and now we have 24, do we? Or 21, I believe?
22.
Okay. So we've over the years, we've varied the number. And what I've done here is I've kept the language that the authority to change the number of directors by the adoption of a bylaw, but I've added the phrase, the following phrase, that such a change in the number of directors consistent with the democratic self-governance of the foundation by its members prescribed by Article 2, paren A, paren close, as amended. So what I'm saying is that if we're going to change the number of directors going forward, we have to do it in such a way that it does not conflict with the foundation's, with the democratic self-governance of the foundation that I enunciate in Article 2, the proposed revision of my proposed amendment, Article 2 language, that makes Pacifica, if this were to be adopted, a democratically self-governed by the members. And then I added some language to try to, without being too specific, give some guidance to how this is to be interpreted. So I further say, for a non-exclusive example, a proposed bylaw amendment is inconsistent with the, quote, democratic self-governance of the foundation by its members, unquote, and therefore prohibited if it would repeal. I got out of place. My bad.
It would
for non-exclusive example, a proposed bylaws amendment is inconsistent with the democratic self-governance of the foundation by its members, and therefore prohibited if it would change the number or identity of directors by shortening or abolishing the tenures of any or all of the current directors in favor of other directors who do not have to compete in elections against rival director candidates prior to becoming directors. So what I'm trying to get at is that if we're going to be democratically self-governed by the members, there's some sort of basics to that concept that I think should be sort of constitutionalized in our articles. And one of it, which should be that you don't just get to be a director through some kind of wholesale referendum. Should it pass, the New Day thing should pass. It would be these new directors that are there by sort of a wholesale referendum, but with no competing candidacies. That, to me, is too contrary to, I guess you might say, the democratic ideals that I think we should abide by within our organization. It's just too subject to kind of power grabbing, and self-appointing, and self-perpetuating leadership. The kind of thing that we were trying to get away from when we adopted these bylaws, which in 2003, and then they came into effect full bore in 2004. So I gave that as a non-exclusive example. You know, I didn't want to get too specific, and I'll stop talking just a moment and take any questions or give the floor to Nancy for her further amendments. But I did, somewhat inspired by Nancy, it occurred to me that we should have perhaps one other facet of this that wouldn't be too cluttering of the articles. And that's in Section 7 of the current articles, where we talk about their classes of membership, and there's a provision there about how the dues should stay the same once you pay them and so on. And then I added a concept, which I haven't sent yet around to people, but I have an email queued up, which I can send after I finish describing it. But what it would do is it would basically say that the bylaws of the corporation as a whole, not just that one bylaw pertaining to how the PNB is constituted, but all the bylaws of the corporation shall be consistent with the democratic self-governance of the foundation by its members, prescribed by Article 2, paren A, as amended. And I give a non-exclusive example of that, too. But I've gone on long enough. You have the general gist of what I'm getting at here, which is that I would like future efforts to sort of do these wholesale, you know, and not mend our current governmental structure within Pacifica to be considered non-starters based on an amended articles of incorporation that simply say that we are, in fact, a democratically self-governed entity, and so that you just can't scrap the democratic features in a huge way. And that would, if necessary, could be struck down by a court if absolutely came to it. But, you know, I feel that something needs to be done at this juncture, because there seems to be tremendous determination, especially in the face of the rather landslide nature of the defeat of the first effort, you know, to come back with the second effort. Not entirely the same, but not all that different either. So I'll yield the floor. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. And Nancy can go into some of her specifics, which I, unfortunately, Nancy was not able to really digest and process. And I didn't have anywhere near the time to study and say something meaningful about. Okay. So please understand on that. But go ahead.
Thank you, Eric. Nancy, Eric? Should we take questions first?
Yes, I have questions to Eric. Could he please send the email as an email, or just send me, and I can send it. Or if you can send everybody, that's the best. What he has written or composed.
Yeah, I paste. Nancy, I pasted in the email addresses that I took the liberty of pasting in the email addresses of the members that you had used. So they're in the queue.
Okay.
I'm going to send it right now. Hit send. So there it goes.
And that's
okay.
And you said it's Section 7, but. What article 2 was it? Something
no, it's in, you'll see it in a second. It's in section 7 of the current articles. I just added another paragraph. It's underscored in the email I just sent. I cut short my full explanation because we have limited time, but go ahead.
I lean to the stack. To define this, what do you mean for non-exclusive example? Does that just mean this isn't the only possible example, or what does that
right.
mean?
Right. I mean, what I'm getting at there is that, you know, you're dealing with these broad concepts, right? Democratic self-governance of the foundation by its members. It's a very, some people could say it's too vague, right? So you want to give some kind of definition without trying to do a laundry list of, you know, this would violate and this wouldn't, because you would end up with a kind of you'd have articles that would look like bylaws if you went too far with that, right? Which is
right.
So I was trying to say that yes, the kind of thing we've seen twice in a row now between the restructuring project and New Day that shouldn't fly in the face of this type of articles amendment. That shouldn't be considered within democratic self-governance, because it simply does too much to appoint rather than elect members of the board. We have a very interesting system of indirect elections of constituting the board of the national board. And that's obviously within the spirit and letter of what I'm talking about here, of democratic self-governance, our current way of doing it. But what both the two efforts that have been done now, pretty much back-to-back, don't, I think, abide and that comply with that. And that's what I was trying to say there. Not that it's an exhaustive list of any opposite of an exhaustive list, just one example.
Thank you. I actually have another question if nobody else wants to go right away. Actually, you kind of touched on it, where we say democratically self-governed by its members. Does that need to be defined more specifically in any way, or is that one of the things we leave to the bylaws to do? I'm asking anybody, or Eric.
Well, from Tom, it definitely needs to be as tight as possible, so it can't be misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Michael White of the Stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
I think all of these proposals are very thoughtful and well worked out and elegantly simple. And what I notice about them is, because they go to the fact that the articles of incorporation take precedence, trump the bylaws, seems to me, you know, they're also laying out grounds that if we essentially don't do this, these proposed changes could be legally challenged as invalid, as a contravention of the charter. I wonder what Eric thinks. You know, it looks to me like it's almost self-operative. I think we ought to pass this, but I also see that, you know, it's almost there without us putting it in.
I'm sorry, I'm not clear on that.
Yeah, I'm not clear.
Ellen Bacon on the Stack.
I'm sorry?
If I wasn't clear, what I'm saying is that by taking advantage of what's already there, and I'm asking if Eric would agree, essentially, what is in the charter makes these proposed bylaws illegal. And I think that were they to pass, I would imagine that would be subject to legal challenge as contravening our basic charter.
Well, that's a $64,000 question, as it were. I remember raising that possibility as to the Pacifica restructuring project, and there was differing opinions, and then there was no real action taken in the wake of the lopsided vote against the Pacifica restructuring project's version of the bylaws amendment. So I don't think it's self-evident, let's put it like that, that without the insertion of the language that I'm proposing, making it a formal part of the articles that the organization is democratically self-governed by its members, that something like a new version of what New Day is now, you know, trying for the second time, and then there could be a third time, theoretically, it could go on indefinitely, that they would then be considered to be, you know, outside, you know, just sort of non-starters from a legal standpoint. because those who seem to be behind this kind of effort, for reasons I'm not clear on, are very motivated to try to change the way Pacifica is conducting its mission from a governmental standpoint, let's say. I'm not putting aside, I'm not even remotely commenting on what they might have in mind, if anything, in terms of substantive directional changes. But clearly, governmentally, they are determined not to try to make better our current structure. They want to abolish it. So I think the answer is yes, it could theoretically, without this language, be subject to challenge. But there was differing opinions as to the first Pacifica restructuring project's legality, and that thankfully never became an issue because it was so decisively defeated by the members.
Alan Bake would like to speak.
Okay. Was there anybody else on the stack before Alan? Forgive me. I guess not. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. And the my screen just disappeared there. And the amendment to his, the part underscored is adding the third line that says for non-exclusive example. Now, the exclusive refers back to operate exclusively for educational purposes. Now, it's not the violation of the educational purposes that we're after here. What we're after is the democratically self-governed. So instead of for non-exclusive example, it should say for a non-democratically self-governed example. So I would substitute non-democratically self-government for non-exclusive.
Well, that could be.
Yeah, Eric will comment
a bit.
That's,
go ahead, Eric.
Eric will speak to it if you wish, Alan. Alan, I hear what you're saying, and I didn't mean to relate back that terminology to the part where exclusive is used in a sense of exclusively for educational purposes. But I see what you mean. The fact that you noticed it and connected it means that stylistically something went wrong. So it's like what happened with the founders and trying to do the Constitution, went through a ton of stylistic changes, some of which and many substantive, as we all know, some of them infamous. But that should probably be stylistically tweaked so there's no confusion, because I didn't mean to, the way, I'm glad you picked up on that, Alan, is what I'm saying. So that, I'll try to look at that for a stylistic clarity.
Thank you. This is James. Is the meeting still ongoing?
Yes, it is. We started about almost a half an hour late, so welcome.
May I make a point of personal privilege, which is kind of not really. I just want to say something quickly. I apologize to the group. I was on the LSB radio show where the LSB reports the listeners, and so I had to be doing that. So I was hoping you were still here so I could get on and my attendance could be reported. And now I think I have to leave because there's an emergency PNB meeting at 9:30.
Oh, no. Come on. You have 4 minutes. Three. You have 3 minutes.
It's a whirlwind we live in here.
I know. I sent you an email in which I was laughing at you earlier today. Anyway,
I'm still smiling. So, I apologize. I think I have to jump off because this PMB meeting starts in 3 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
But I saw Eric's motion. And did you take nominations for chair for next time?
No.
For an election?
We have not done that.
Okay, somebody asked me to nominate him.
Yeah, somebody asked me to nominate him too.
Can I?
I don't think we'll get to that tonight. Yes.
Can I pay tribute to James Wellett before he jumps off, which is that James said something in one of the PNB meetings, I believe, that I was listening to that also inspired this, which is that he said that to his knowledge, Pacifica is unique in the entire world by being membership, the destiny of Pacifica being basically under the authority of the members. And we probably are.
The members and the workers.
And that's right, because of the workers' participation on the board. So I wanted.
We should write that down.
I just want to give you a heads up, though, just so you know, that's my stump speech. So you will hear it again.
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay.
And look forward to it as well.
Okay.
Great.
Keep repeating it. 100% with you on that.
I appreciate that. If you do go to nominations, will you please make sure that Lawrence Reyes is nominated? I'm not endorsing him, but he asked me to nominate him.
Okay. We'll do that.
That's not on the agenda. Next time.
Okay. Thanks. Nancy, thanks.
Probably next time.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This is Vanessa. Bye, James.
Sorry for interrupting.
Okay. I'm getting off. You're going to? Yeah, right now.
Okay.
Okay,
gotcha.
Thank you.
This is Wally. I had to go, too.
Wally, you're on the PNB now? Yes, of course you are.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
And Tom.
So, Wally, Vanessa, Tom. So sad.
And James. But we still have a quorum of a quorum, so we can continue.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If we start with a quorum, we can continue, even if we lose the quorum.
Okay, well, I still have not seen this proposal, so if somebody can get it sent to me, I'm very interested. I'd like to read it in detail.
Okay. Tom, I sent you. I don't understand why you're not getting it. I'll send it again.
Alan, Tom, I just sent it to you, Tom. Again, this is Eric. I just resent it to you.
Well, it could be my email, too. I'm way out here. In the boonies where it's pretty slow sometimes.
Yeah, I see that Tom and Lou are not on your list, Eric. So I forwarded it to Lou, but Tom's not on here either. So
Alan Beecher is back.
Hang on a second. Yes, we should get back to our meeting. Okay, Alan, go ahead.
I would like to ask Eric, how soon this has to be completed. I can see other things I would like to suggest about the wording, but if we get into a rather extended rewriting, we might improve it a lot, but we might delay it a lot also. And so I'd like to know Eric's views on how fast we have to get at it. Is he going to present it to the National Board tomorrow night and ask them to adopt it and amend the bylaws? Amend the articles?
Well, this is
Eric.
Thank
you, Alan. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Eric.
Do you want me to respond, Eileen? I did speak with Lawrence today, who said that his suggestion was to have the governance committee approve the proposed amendment of the articles for the PNB's, or recommend it to the PNB. Now, Alan is right that even the stylistic thing he just mentioned probably should be looked at. Can't be too careful, since you're talking about articles here, that could end up being looked at by a judge someday, theoretically, hopefully not. So I would sort of be in the middle on this. I don't know. Part of this is just a judgment call as to, lack of a better term, within Pacifica's use of the word politics, but within Pacifica's political landscape. Perhaps others on the call with longer experience than me and more direct at the PNB level could chime in as to the wisdom of taking a little extra time or just putting it before the PNB as soon as possible, perhaps to get some initial feedback, if nothing else, and to get the ball rolling as to whether there is, you know, a fighting chance that there's sufficient support to get this through the process. Sure. Whether it's sooner or later, there's actually two bites at the apple this year that I could see. One, which would be a longer shot, could be to have it appear on the same ballot that the current New Day proposal is slated for. That would take some awfully fast footwork, and it would appear, given the steps that are needed to get a proposed articles amendment before the membership. The other opportunity that crossed my mind was that we are having LSB elections, knock on wood, presuming the New Day proposal doesn't carry, later in the 2021, in the fall, are we not? So that
I think even before that, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Is it before? Okay. Well, but sometime in at least mid-2021. So then
sometime during this year, you're right. I'm sorry. Excuse me for interrupting.
So my thought there would be that it could perhaps be added as another voting issue on the respective LSB ballots, but would be common to all of the LSB ballots at the respective stations, this separate item on this articles amendment, if the votes were there to get that far, because I included in my original email the actual wording of the political requirements to get a articles amendment through, and it's one thing to get it proposed, and then there's a different set of more strenuous requirements to get it passed.
Okay.
Which I don't know whether we want to take time now to go over that.
Do you mean the bylaws that tell us how to conduct amendments of bylaws?
An articles amendment, right. The bylaw that governs.
The bylaw that determines how to amend the bylaws or the articles, right?
Yes, and the articles are the ones that I studied carefully. So I could tell you what they are in 30 seconds if you want, as I understand it. So whatever. I don't want to clutter the conversation too much.
Can we come back to that?
Much. Yeah, of course.
Because I have some questions before that. I just want to mention that, I saw a little bit of a need for some line editing. And, that's never good to do in a group. I have that experience. You know, when you get down to arguing about commas, even, it's just not a good process. So we can talk about how to offer our potential corrections. Then the other question I have, is the first deadline what we've been talking about, April 7th, I think, when?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So that would, I think that, in my view, that would be too soon to get this. But would it be out of line or not a recognizably legitimate procedure to summarize the point of this work to the PNB, ask them if they support it, in its essence? And I would say its essence is to basically, just to summarize it in a sentence or two, just to add the character of Pacifica as democratically self-governed by its members to the Articles of Incorporation for the purpose of avoiding, future, But I think you get what I mean. If we could just put the concept to the PNB and then work on the actual language. Would that make any sense? And is there any reason to even do that?
So I'll stop there.
Go ahead, for the stack.
I don't think we have enough time. And the way we were expecting is that this would be together with the election, the LSB election, and so we could save money and everything. But the NES decided to do it separately. So we don't know for sure if she might do the same thing if we were to do it later and do a separate referendum. That means another $53,000 referendum. So, you know, we should try to meet this April 7th as soon as possible. And it's not just the branding of or making it bolder about being democratically run, but also the protection to the PNB being suddenly, you know, disappeared without an election with a referendum. That part is separate, and that is good. That he gave protection to the PNB. So those are two points that I like that Eric has added here. I mean, that he put work into. He did not, Eric, everybody's received, I think, by now, your email you sent to us tonight. And so you can talk about that if you want to. I just don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't understand what Alan is saying about exclusively or what the wording. I mean, can y'all two come up with a wording to figure that out or so we won't be having trouble down the road in a court? I don't understand that part. So I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I mean, that has to be somehow redone maybe.
Well, maybe we can just say, instead of for non-exclusive example, we could just say for one example.
Yeah.
That way we don't have to get into, you know, any other nuance. Just for one example, then you give
where
it.
Where is that under number two, Roman number six, which is it?
Six. You know, okay. Alan was saying that he was relating it back because the word exclusive does appear in 2A, that the establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes.
Ah, I see.
So he kind of connected that use of exclusive, and then and stylistically, he's right. You don't want to use the language that can be somehow too close proximity. It's a stylistic thing, obviously. So maybe just say for one example.
For one example. I got it now. Okay, good. And then you put something more down in 7.
I did, and you know, now it's because it may be more trouble than it's worth. But I did want to make sure that we didn't have a situation where the only bylaws that would be not in compliance with the 2A as amended would be the one pertaining to how the PNB is constituted. So I think I added, and maybe we could just leave it without the that exemplary language again. But when I say there is that the bylaws of the corporation shall be consistent with the democratic self-governance of the foundation by its members prescribed by Article 2A as amended. So that way it covers all of the bylaws. So you not just the ones, the one bylaw that about how the PNB is constituted. For example, what if somebody, who was determined to not give up the ghost on these radical bylaws amendments, decided to put together another effort that would actually take away the part of the bylaws that says that you can't have a bylaws amendment that conflicts with the articles. So I use that as another example. But I kind of think that it might be gilding the lily here. I think we have to hope and trust that with a certain few changes, and maybe the further change that I'm proposing to Article 7 is overdoing it, you know, that the message will be sent and received that, you know, future ambitious people who want to turn Pacifica back into a self-perpetuating board kind of thing will know not to try because the articles forbid it. And courts, I think, do enforce the an organization's own articles and bylaws pretty faithfully. And it's certainly within, I think, the prerogative of the Pacifica members to do this. I can't think of a reason why it would flout any legal restrictions to make this kind of change.
Alan Beek again.
You know, I'm sorry. I think Bill was on the stack, weren't you, Bill? And I didn't give you the floor.
Yeah, thank you. Well, actually, yeah, and I assume we still haven't heard from Nancy. Nancy had some amendments. We probably should talk about that along with this. And I'll just say, in terms of the timetable, you know, this committee doesn't have to vote on anything. There's no requirement in the bylaws or the articles that, you know, a governance committee. I don't think the governance committee is even mentioned in the articles. None of the committees are has to vote on anything. But I mean, it sounds like there's quite a bit of talk about, you know, revising the language, and I think we should talk about what Nancy said. Some of them I don't think I agree with, but she has the right to bring up all her, you know, suggestions also. So I'm just wondering if we're going to give her a chance to do that.
Alan Beek would like to speak.
All right, Alan, and then I'd like to go to Nancy's changes or amendments. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, I copied out the part of the Corporations Code that deals with nonprofit corporations and they're amending their own articles. And the board can amend the articles. It doesn't have to have a vote of the people. It doesn't have to even mention having any bylaws. The board at its meeting tomorrow night could amend the articles if they had a thing that was already that everybody agreed was the way we want to go with the articles. Now, I think it would take us a long time, several hours of negotiation, before we'd find a way of wording all this that we all feel is, yeah, that's what we want to do. And the question is, are we going to shoot for trying to get the board to adopt this tomorrow night, which I have great doubts about being able to get them to do that. But that's my question. Which way are we going to go on the timing and trying to get it perfect?
Okay. We will consider that in our discussions. Michael?
Yeah, picking up on what was just said, which way are we going to go on the timing? And are we going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good?
Right.
I Bill is correct that we don't have to, adopt something for the PNB to consider it. But I think that ignores the fact that there is a strength and definite good to be done if we send something to the board. I think we should do it. As for getting bogged down in something that's going to take a lot of time and could, I really think we should keep it simple. What we've got is good and, easy to pass as is. The fact that there's other things that could be proposed, inserted, blah, blah. That's all stuff that, if the PNB wants to deal with it, they could deal with it. But, there's also stuff that can be dealt with in the future. I think, we are in a situation where what we do soon, fast, affirmatively, clearly is important, and we should pass this up and make it simple and firm and forthright.
Okay. Does that mean that you would be for just transmitting this to the PNB as soon as possible and having it be part of whatever happens on April 7th?
I think we have good work. I think, we don't have to ask Eric how to change it.
Yeah.
I think he's, already decided what would be good for us to pass, and I think we should pass what he is recommending.
Okay, well, let's hear from Nancy on her amendments to see how they affect what Eric has written and presented to us. Nancy?
Okay, I have a question.
How many?
To Eric. Yeah. The,
okay.
Yes. The part of 7 that he changed, and he said it's not necessary to write the whole thing like it's overdoing, but to be on the safe side, I don't think it's so wrong to leave it the way he's written it. And the other question is, what he has written in 7, does it take care of the LSB being all of a sudden disappeared?
Let me see. Where? I'm sorry. Oh, here it is, 7. Okay.
The idea that the bylaws should be consistent with the democratic self-governance of the foundation by its members, one would think, would cover something like the attempt to, like the current one by New Day, to essentially convert all the LSBs into community advisory boards, I believe is what they're mm-hmm. contemplating. I would think that that would be contrary to the democratic self-governance of the foundation, because that's an elected body at the moment, the LSBs, and they have powers. You mentioned them, Nancy, that we're all familiar with. I think maybe less is more as to that 7 that I proposed, and maybe just at the end of that first sentence, where it's as amended, period, leave out the non-exclusive example, because it's kind of not as elegant as the one above, and just leave it at that, that the bylaws, which means that all the bylaws, not just the bylaws that have already been mentioned above in my first draft, but all the bylaws shall be consistent with democratic self-governance, so that something radical comes along and you can't predict. People have great imaginations. The de-democratizers have a lot of imagination, as they've proven now twice. These aren't tossed off. These are very detailed proposals. So there could be more of that in the future, unfortunately, and therefore, maybe just to say that the bylaws themselves, all of them, have to be within this rubric of a democratic, self-governing entity. That would be enough.
Michael White to the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, just on the question of PNB versus the LSB, I'm going to point out that the LSB and the election of the LSB members, we have two simultaneously existing bodies by virtue of those elections. So the LSBs are local station boards, but at the same time, those same members also constitute a delegates assembly. With respect to the fact that they are a local station board, they're a subcommittee, and to a certain extent subordinate to the PNB. To the extent that they are a delegates assembly, they're integral part of the democracy, and they are actually superior to the PNB. They appoint the PNB. So the question of whether you can muck with the LSBs is no, you can't. That's part of the democracy, and that means that it's part of what cannot be changed, as Eric is pointing out.
Okay.
And Bill for the sec again.
Okay. Bill, go ahead.
Somebody, I think it was Alan, said something to the effect that, like, the PNB could vote tomorrow night on amending the Articles of Incorporation. Is that what? Yeah. Did I hear that right? Well, that's not true. In our bylaws, it calls for a provision. I think it's in Article 17. Part of that is, one section is about amending the bylaws themselves. The other part's about amending the Articles of Incorporation. So don't we have to follow that?
I quoted the California law. The California law provides for the board to amend the articles. It makes no mention of any bylaws.
But if we have bylaws that say otherwise, don't we have to follow those? We can't just ignore our bylaws.
I think when the law doesn't even recognize the existence of bylaws, we have no obligation to obey them.
That sounds like a recipe for chaos. Then we don't have to pay any attention to any of our bylaws.
Well, that would simplify things. I'm not sure it would help, but.
Okay, let's go home. I don't know. Eric, you're there in California, and you may well know
that
California
Alan,
law.
Alan, I'd have to see some authority there, Alan. Alan, you'd have to show me some authority, some case law that says that a foundation like Pacifica that adopts bylaws that prescribes methods for amending its articles can simply do an impromptu change, you know, outside of the letters of the bylaws procedures on that topic. I suppose there might be such an authority, but I think you might need to do some legal research on that.
Well, I cut out the it's about four pages out of the California law and sent it to you. Did you get that?
I did, Alan. But here's the thing about the law and legal research: you have to do you have to drill down fairly deep. There is such a thing called Google Scholar, and you can read various interpretations of statutes like that one and the way it's been applied in cases and controversies, and you really can't come to any legal opinion without reading the way appellate opinions and things have interpreted the law in the real world in the context of disputes. So it's why lawyers are, for better or for worse, needed. Because they do that sort of thing for a living, it doesn't mean that anybody can't do legal research, and you don't have to have a law degree, or let alone a membership in a bar, to do it. But I would take a look around at Google Scholar, and it's free, and you can punch in keywords and see if your thinking there holds up under further scrutiny of the case authority.
And this is Bill. Can you put me on the sec after other people again? I have a chance to speak.
I'm not a lawyer, but I did quote the entire section of the law. It looked pretty clear to me. But you're the lawyer, and if you want to go further and tell us no, it doesn't count, that's your business.
Okay, thank you, Alan.